Respond. I'm Kate Remington, catching up with Nathan McCree. Hey, it is great to have a chance to talk with you again.
Hello, Kate. It's very nice to talk to you as well.
Well, when we were last chatting, we were talking about the Tomb Raider Live, the Tomb Raider Suite concert that's coming up on December 18th in London. And I would love to find out, you know, where things are at right now, because you've had a little time to work on the music. And I guess, first of all, I'd love to know what it's been like to kind of revisit all this music that you wrote 20 years ago.
When I sort of got my head around what I was about to start doing, I was a bit apprehensive about, you know, whether I was going to find the motivation to sort of revisit stuff that I'd written 20 years ago. I'm sure other composers will understand when I say, you know, when you listen to your old work, you always think, oh, you know, what a load of rubbish, I could do that so much better now, you know. And that's what I was worried about. I thought I was going to listen to it all and go, oh no, this is horrible, you know, and how can I motivate myself to spend 4 months working on it? But to my surprise, I actually quite enjoyed listening to the tunes again, and I kind of surprised myself. I actually thought, yeah, actually, you know, this is quite a good tune, and I quite like this one, and this isn't bad, you know. And so I was energized by that, and that kind of fueled me to you know, get my head down and extend the pieces how I wanted to. And so, you know, writing the new material for all the pieces was just really great. It was really enjoyable. A bit of a challenge, but yeah, I have really, really enjoyed it.
That's so cool. And I was going to ask about how you did sort of come to writing them in a new way, because you mentioned that you've had 4 months, which is longer than you had for any of the music for the games. And so that must have given you time to kind of tinker with them and try out different things and just kind of see what works.
Well, funnily enough, it wasn't as sort of plain sailing as you make out in your question. I mean, I spent over the 4 month period, I think 3 of those weeks were spent with holidays with my family. So it was really like 3 months and 1 week. Okay. So when you break that down into the 3 projects, that's like a month for each project, a month for Tomb Raider 1, a month for Tomb Raider 2, a month for Tomb Raider 3, which isn't really much more than I had when I first did Tomb Raider 1. Tomb Raider 1, I did it in 3 weeks. Tomb Raider 2, I actually had 2 months, and Tomb Raider 3, I had 3 months. So here I am doing the Tomb Raider suite, and I've got 1 month per project. So it was still really tight, and I mapped out the 25 tracks that I wanted to write and mapped out, you know, the number of days I had until the delivery date on my contract with ULive. And it worked out that I had 3 days per track.
Wow.
Yeah. So, and I had to stick to that over 4 months. So it was quite tough in places because, you know, some of the tunes, instead of taking 3 days, took like 5 days. And it was like, oh, no, you know, I've lost 2 days. I've got to try and eat that back somehow. So I was either working weekends to sort of make up the 2 days that I'd lost, or I was trying to do the next track in, say, 2 days. So I would save a day. And then the next track I would try and do in 2 days. So I saved another day. So I would claw those days back. So all the way through the project, I was chasing my tail, basically, chasing that deadline, and I couldn't afford to slip at all. In the last month, I was working all my weekends and late into the night, you know, 1, 2, 3 o'clock in the morning, and I was up again with the kids at 7 or 8 in the morning. So, and I did that for the last sort of 5 weeks. So, yeah, it was pretty exhausting, but I got there.
Oh, my gosh. It's, you know, and the thing that I'm realizing is writing the melody, getting the melody from your head down onto the, well, probably the computer screen at this point, is the easy part, right? Because then you've got to do all the parts and do the orchestrations and the arrangements and get all of that sorted out, too. So it is a really lengthy process, it sounds like.
Yeah, you know, the melodies were mostly there because, you know, obviously I'm using the existing pieces. So the sort of thematic material is there. Yeah, you're right. It's about the textures, the orchestrations, and also sort of checking that I'm not overdoing it. You know, the style that I wrote Tomb Raider in 20 years ago is different to how I write now. And so sometimes I had to sort of recheck what I'd done and go, well, hang on a minute, that's not how I would have done it 20 years ago. So I sort of had to unpick things every now and again, and just try and keep it simple. Just try and keep it as sort of minimalistic as it was, you know, all those years ago. It was an interesting process, but, you know, like I say, really enjoyable. And the tunes that I've released so far, the previews that I've put out on SoundCloud, the fans have been really amazing about those. They've loved them, and I've previewed them at game shows, and I've had a really, really good response from that. So I'm pretty confident it's going to be a good show.
Oh, it sounds like it's going to be amazing, and I've heard those tracks. And the thing that really struck me about the T-Rex battle and the way you extended it is that it doesn't sound like typical boss battle music. I mean, here Lara is battling this terrifying beast with, in my case, not nearly enough ammo, and yet there's a delicacy to it. It's almost like a ballet. The middle section that you used as the extension is really cool.
Yeah. Well, I was just imagining, when I remember playing that part in the game, and there were little spots where you could hide from the T-Rex and he couldn't get you.
Yeah.
So I just remembered those bits and I thought, well, here's a great bit for when she's hiding. So I just kind of, you know, pulled the mix right down, and then suddenly, da-da, you know, out she comes with guns blazing, da-da-da-da, you know. We'll be right back. I'm kind of just making up stories in my head, really. it's as if I'm writing for a movie, but it's just my own imagination.
Oh, that's neat. So did you go back and play the games at all to get kind of your head back in the right place?
No, I didn't play any of them, but I have been watching some Let's Play videos because we've been gathering video footage for the show. So yeah, you know, I've been looking at loads of stuff. I've been looking at loads of high res images as well. So yeah, you know, I've been fully immersed in the project again for the last 4 months.
Oh, that's so cool. So how is the concert going to be organized then? Is it like chronological with 1, 2, and 3, or did you just group the pieces as a musically thematic link?
It's mostly chronological. It's like the first section of the show is all the pieces from Tomb Raider, the next section is from Tomb Raider 2, the next section is from Tomb Raider 3, and then there's the final section, which is medleys from Tomb Raider 1, 2, and 3. So it's pretty sequential. There is one exception to all of that, and that's the track, The Temple of Xi'an, which I've used to actually introduce the show. So that's the only one that's kind of out of place. That sits in the Tomb Raider 1 section, but it's actually a tune from Tomb Raider 2.
Oh, that's going to be so cool. And Shelley Blonde, who acted Lars' original voice, is going to be part of the show as well, which is really, yeah, really cool. Did that just sort of happen spontaneously, or did you plan for that all along?
I always had that idea, really. You know, because it's a game soundtrack, you know, I felt there would be lots of people at the show who have probably heard of Tomb Raider, but maybe never played it. And so I felt that some of the pieces needed some explanation. So we sort of wrote a script for a presenter quite early on. And there was a lot of that talk in the show, a lot of presenters talk. As it turns out now, we've stripped a lot of that out because we feel the music's strong enough to stand on its own, which is a good thing. But, you know, from the initial idea of having the presenter and thinking, well, who could this be? I automatically thought Shelley, because she's the first voice of Lara Croft. And, you know, who better than to talk about the music on Tomb Raider than the original voice of Lara? I just thought, yeah, that it just has to be Shelley. You know, and she's a TV presenter by profession anyway, so she's a natural at this kind of thing, so it's just perfect.
Oh, it sounds like it's going to be a really wonderful addition, and like you say, add a little bit more context where it's needed. And what was so interesting about when she first got the gig as Lara's voice, she was almost putting too much emotion into it, I guess, and you were like coaching her with Lara's character to be just a lot more, I guess, chill and a lot more deadpan, and it worked out really well.
Yeah, I mean, this kind of came from the scriptwriter, Vicky Arnold. It was her sort of imagination of how Lara would say these things. You know, she was the one that sort of wrote this sort of dryness into Lara's replies. And so, you know, having spent quite a long time with Vicky working, you know, talking to her about the script, you know, obviously I needed to know what happens in the game and all this kind of thing. So I'd read the script a few times before we went to the recording session. And so when we heard Shelley speaking, you know, I'm looking at Vicky and Vicky's looking at me and I'm sort of going, yes, no, yes, no, you know, in the control room. And she's like, yeah, I'm not sure, you know, it needs to be more dry, you know. And I'm like, okay, so I'm on the mic to Shelley. I'm like, okay, let's pull that back a little bit. It's a little bit too emotional. She's more confident than that. You know, she doesn't need to get so excited. She's much tougher, you know. So, yeah, we brought those emotions back down a little bit. And, I think we got a good result in the end. And, you know, and Shelley was good to work with. You know, she's one of these actors who can respond to direction. And she really, you know, tries hard to deliver what you want, and she did. So she's a good choice.
Well, I think it's probably going to be fun for her to get back in character too, as Lara.
So. Yeah, you know, I've had some good conversations with her recently because, you know, obviously since you know, getting her involved on the show and sorting out contracts and all that kind of blah blah blah, and you know, all the stuff you have to go through, we've actually had quite a few conversations. On Twitter and email and all this kind of thing, and it's been good. It's been like meeting an old friend again, you know. So we've had some good laughs already, and we're both looking forward to seeing each other on in December.
I'll bet. Well, so how much time have you allowed for pulling it all together and rehearsal time with the orchestra and that sort of thing?
Well, a lot of this is kind of out of my hands at this point. My job was to write the music and support the orchestrator in producing the score. That's all been done now, and it's now gone. There's nothing that I can do anymore about that, apart from support any questions that may come back. The scores now go to the conductor and the producer at ULive. And so that's Robert Zeigler, who's the conductor, and Tommy Pearson at ULive. And they go through the scores and they kind of just double check that, you know, everything is working as they expect it to, and we haven't sort of added some weird musician that we haven't agreed on, you know. So they just check that everything's as it is, as we agreed on. And then that goes to a librarian who basically separates all the individual parts from the conductor's score and puts them together in a book for each instrument. So the oboist has his book, the clarinetist has his book, the lead violin has his book, you know, and so it goes on. So all this gets separated out and gets posted out to the orchestra. Now that's happening right now. The orchestra will get about 2 weeks with their parts to just kind of familiarize themselves with what they've got to play. And then we have a 3-hour rehearsal session on the morning of the show. And that's when we have to get everything together. So we have to get all the microphones set up and the mixing engineer. So I'll be working with him, and we have to set all the mixes for every tune. And the orchestra obviously has to rehearse every piece of music with the conductor. The lighting director has to set all his lighting sequences. The video production team have to set their video stuff all up. I've got to talk to the keyboard players in the orchestra and make sure they've got all the knowledge they need to operate the synthesizer racks that I'm giving them. So there's loads to do in those 3 hours. And I'm quite frankly, I'll be amazed if it all comes together. But, you know, I am a little bit worried because this is the first time I've done anything as big as this before. But, you know, I keep getting reassured by everyone that everyone's a professional, Nathan. Don't worry. This, you know, we've done this 1,000 times. It'll all be all right on the night. So I just have to trust in that.
Oh, yeah. Well, I have heard such incredible things about other composers who have worked with the Royal Philharmonic and just how astonishing they are. So I think your music's really in good hands for sure.
Yeah, you know, I'm sure they are. I mean, you know, musicians like that are just jaw-droppingly good. You know, it always amazes me when you see them. I always think, you know, how is it possible that somebody can be that good on an instrument? But they are. And so, I'm sure they'll pull it off. Yeah. It's not actually that difficult of a score to play. There's a few tricky bits, but it's not complicated. It's, you know, I think anyone with a pretty decent skill in their instrument should find it a breeze.
Yeah, well, and you've probably got players in the orchestra who played Tomb Raider too, so they'll be like totally into it. And
yeah, maybe. Yeah, who knows?
Has it been a big surprise to you to feel all of this excitement from the fans? I mean, it sounds like as soon as the project was announced, people just went crazy for it. And I'm just wondering if that was kind of caught you by surprise.
Sort of, but you know, this has been a long time coming, and you know, I've had fans emailing me for years and years and years saying they want the music, you know. And then 2 years before we actually made the official announcement in Boston, when was that? Was that in March or something?
March or April
this year?
April, yeah.
Yeah, 2 years before that, I'd been tweeting to people, there's music coming, there's a special project coming, you know, it's coming. And so, you know, the buzz was happening. So I was kind of expecting, or at least hoping, you know, that it would make a big impact once we released the news. And yeah, I'm happy to say the fans that I've met over this last sort of 9 months or so leading up to the concert have been really great, really, really happy and pleased that I'm doing it, and you know, for me, that's what it's all about. You know, it's worth going through the stress and the heartache and all of that, just to see the look on people's faces when they hear those tunes. That you can't beat that.
Oh, it's going to be an amazing event. And thanks so much for taking some time and catching us up on the process. And good luck with the performance. I think it's going to be fabulous.
Thank you very much. I'm really looking forward to it.